Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the budget, I mean, there's numbers on paper, and then they jump, like maybe $4,000 for the same contract for like a BBC and This American Life, and we're paying, well, we were told last year, $32,000 a year. This time it's $37,000. No explanation for the jump in the price, and no showing us the contract. I mean, and then the salaries paid to staff, you know, being frozen. And when we ask the manager, you know, how long have they been frozen? And he tells us like 2 or 3 years on average, and his has been frozen for 5 years. And then another paid board staff member says, well, some people have been frozen for 7 years. I mean, maybe in the South that doesn't mean too much, but
Robert Mark
still.
Back.
Okay, well, see, now we need to be able to do a responsible action as a board member. We need to see the history of these salaries. I mean, how do we know how long they've been frozen and for how long and how much? And this kind of thing, it should be published for the world. I mean, we're a nonprofit. I think we should be more transparent. And now I understand we can start out by asking those paid staff if they were willing to have their salary published without their name, like person A or person B or something, or person A, B, and C make a total of this month, a month, or a year. I mean, we could do it on a voluntary basis, but I mean, how can we do a good job as a responsible to our stakeholders and to everyone without having that information?
Okay, Bob, I'll have you next. I just wanted to answer a couple of things that Nancy raised. As to contracts, you know, it is P&B policy, which is sometimes observed in the breach, that the local station board review every contract over $5,000. So I think it is already within the purview of the local station board's rights and responsibilities to an executive session and ask management to bring in any contract over $5,000. So if you have a concern about a specific contract, I mean, that's what we've done here. We've scheduled executive sessions, and we, you know, have notified management and said we have a concern about this contract. We want, and that sometimes takes push from, like, your local finance committee. Say, we want to review this contract. Please distribute it. Whether, you know, sometimes they'll distribute it in hard copy and collect them afterwards because they don't want to distribute it, you know, electronically, whatever. But that everyone get a copy of the contract and be able to review it and then have an executive session to discuss it with management. That right already exists. Review contracts over $5,000, and that wouldn't take anything new. That just takes, you know, enforcement at the local level to say, you know, we insist upon seeing this contract and having a discussion of it. And there may be perfectly reasonable reasons why a contract has gone up, you know, because it was written into the contract. But if you haven't seen it, you don't know that. As for employees, it's my understanding Texas is a right to work state, right? You're not a union station, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So because, you know, union contracts are one way you can see whether people are getting increases because they're written into the contract, you know, this amount, you know, 2%, whatever, you know, is going to kick in this year. Many employees, at least I've observed locally, do not want their salaries disclosed. Part of it is because if you're making less than the industry norm and you work in that industry, you don't necessarily want other people to know what you've been working for. I mean, that's been raised to me as an issue by some people. And the law only requires that, like, your top compensated executives have their salaries revealed as part of the tax return. So your regular rank and file employees, again, have an expectation of privacy about what their salaries are, and most people prefer to have that observed. I've met very few employees that actually say, yes, I'd like my salary disclosed to the public. So I think that although you could ask people on a voluntary basis, that you may encounter some pushback on that, because that's at least what I've observed here. And even when you do it without names, in a very small environment, saying, you know, board operator makes X, you know who that board operator is, so it kind of vitiates, you know, keeping it confidential. So, Bob.
Yeah, well, first of all, I have to preface this by saying that Nancy's opinion as to the way that the KPFT is managed is her opinion and certainly not the opinion of the majority of the board. And I would just like to say that this conversation has been so destructive and absolutely so wasteful of my time that I am hereby tendering my resignation from this committee. So long, y'all. I got more to do than than spend an hour and a half talking about what is essentially a phone call and an email. So, y'all, see y'all.
I guess that takes care of the point person who had volunteered from Texas. Okay. And Nancy, and is the other member from Texas also on? Excuse me.
Who is there?
Leslie's here. John, Wesley, you're on there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Wesley. Okay. And I'm sorry, did I hear Bruce? No. Okay. Wesley and Nancy, it still would be helpful to have somebody. I'll talk to Robert later, but since he's just left the call, I don't think he will be following up with management necessarily this week. I do think it would be helpful to take a helpful attitude towards facilitation of production of documents for the purpose of the audit and take up some of these issues separately. But do either of you wish to interface with management on just seeing to it that the request made from the auditor is fulfilled in a timely fashion?
Yes, that list you sent us, right? Those things?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy to do that. Ask him and.
Okay. All right. So, because
I want to see those things.
I understand that, but I think we did digress off into other territory, and there are a lot of legalities about who sees what, to the chagrin of transparency, but they're there. All right, and Wesley, can you work with Nancy on that as well, just to make sure that we've got everything's coming forward from management? And I mean, we don't usually have trouble with KPFT in terms of getting stuff in a timely fashion, so I presume all that will be normal. Okay. Whose voice is that? I hear a breath. What else?
This is Fred.
Hi, Fred.
I'm still here.
Okay. Were you trying to say something?
I'm sorry?
Were you trying to say something? Did you want to be acknowledged to say something?
No.
Okay. Did someone else wish to speak? Okay.
Well,
maybe not.
This is Nancy. Is Nancy allowed to speak again? I mean, I spoke so much. I'm so sorry. But if nobody's saying anything, I just don't understand why we're not more transparent to, like other nonprofits. I mean, even this Whole Foods store nearby publishes all the salaries of each of their employee. I mean, we're a nonprofit, and I just think it's not fair. I mean, the stakeholders ought to have access to everything. I don't understand why it's up to the manager to decide what is disclosed and what is not.
Well, has your board tried to schedule an executive session to have a discussion with management? Because we have found that helpful.
I have asked him in a committee. I have asked the manager in a board meeting, please do not make us trust you blindly. Please show us these things. And I get no response, like silence, like talking to a statue. That's the response we get. And I'm getting really fed up with this. I mean, it's really hard. Yeah, I'd love to hear from other people if they have some suggestion.
Well, sure. We're requesting salary information to be discussed in an executive session, and we've had management produce spreadsheets that give you an idea of what people are making, and then you could have a discussion about whether or not people have gotten raises. I mean, I think you should try to work with your local finance committee to see to it that a executive session is scheduled for your LSC to discuss things such as salaries and ask to have some of that information shared there, because it's reasonable for the board to do that stuff. It's just how you do it and what the context is. I mean, I would suggest trying that at least.
Yeah, our finance meeting has had the no quorum blues for a long time, and it's like almost nothing.
Scheduled is pretty regular.
If I understand you correctly, Summer, you're suggesting that the best approach for local station boards to take is to request executive sessions to discuss the financial details that might not be suitable for open discussion, including salaries?
Yeah, it's what we've done here. You know, I was treasurer here for 2 years, and you schedule time with your local station board chair to have an executive and ask management to produce a spreadsheet of the positions and take the names out, even though you may know who those people are, but if it's in an executive session, in public, to bring those spreadsheets with the salaries and the positions and to have a discussion. And if a concern of some members is that, for instance, nobody's gotten a raise in a really long time, to discuss that, you know, what is the criteria to try and schedule time, yes, in an executive session and specifically to discuss, for instance, salaries and say that, you know, we want to discuss who's working for us. And we've done things like, you know, we want to identify anybody who's a 1099 contractor, because sometimes you see people in the building, you say, well, I know this person works here, but they're not showing up on payroll, you know. And that's a way to handle it, because you can kind of bring management to the table. You're protecting the confidentiality issues of the employees, and then you can discuss salary issues that are of concern to members. Yeah, I mean, that would be my suggestion. We've done things similar to that here and have found it to be somewhat helpful. There was someone else in the back, a man's voice?
Yeah, that was me, Wesley.
Wesley, go ahead.
Hi. Some of this stuff probably should be talked about off the screen, but we've had a problem on the finance committee of, you know, when the first meeting is called at the year, it was flooded with newly elected board members, and then they just stopped coming. And our chair, our treasurer, who is also our chair, had the idea that unless you have quorum, you're not a meeting. And you can't hold an absence against somebody if you didn't have quorum. Therefore, we haven't had an ability to propose anything in that committee because, you know, of this, you know, even though it's not bylaws, I mean, it's not substantiated by Robert's rules. So I'll be glad to go with Nancy and open up files for her. That's not a problem.
Okay. All right, thank you. And I don't know how it's being done at other stations. We have a rule here at KPFK. We set our committee rosters during the first 3 months of the year, by the springtime, actually the fourth month, right? So that basically people who attend, you have to attend three meetings, you know, consecutively, and then the roster for that committee gets set usually in April or May. And that's the committee roster for the rest of the year, and then you can have excused absences or you can drop people from the committee because they're not showing up. And I don't know if that, like, technique is being applied elsewhere, but we have also found that to be helpful in terms of giving some structure to the committee so that people don't just float in and out of committees and you don't know whether someone's a member or if they just stopped showing up or they don't even know they're a member. So that might be a suggestion if you're having some trouble, if that's not already being utilized, is to, you know, set up a process whereby, you know, people have to attend those first three meetings of the year so that you can set your committee roster. And that way you can drop people if they stop showing up and, you know, bring down your quorum threshold or ask other people to join the committee. So it's a thought. It might be helpful. But you could also, you know, schedule an executive session for the whole LS, whether or not the finance committee is as functional as one would want or not. So, but thank you. If you could work together, that would be helpful. Other people...
Summer, this is Margie. I want to be on the stack, please.
Please, go ahead, Margie.
Okay, I'm sorry. My phone ran out of battery, and I've just dialed back in on another line. And I was just about to ask to have the floor because I wanted to say something in the previous discussion. I actually think the things that we are allowed, as a nonprofit under California corporation codes, I think we're very limited in the things that we can discuss in executive session. I think they only have to do with personnel matters such as evaluations and individual salaries and other items, even items that I think the foundation feels sensitive about, have to be discussed in public. And I'm very sympathetic to Nancy's concern because I think that that we should be as open and as transparent as possible. And in fact, I think the law requires that. I was hoping maybe one of the things we could do in this committee coming out of this discussion is just get something, I don't know, maybe from a lawyer, maybe someone just wants to research the corporation codes and just see what it is that we're actually allowed to discuss in executive session and what things have to be done in public. And you know, anyway, that's all. That was what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Sure, Mark. I know the three overall categories for executive session are contracts, you know, contractual relationships, legal matters, and personnel matters. The issue to do with salaries is because it's frequently easy to identify who the individual is if you're looking at a spreadsheet of salaries because you only have so many board operators. You only have, you know what I mean, you can identify so-and-so holds that position. That must be what he or she is making. So that, I think, would fall into an appropriate discussion in executive session if you're going over specific salaries because you would be easy to identify the individual employee. If you like, I would be happy to. We have new general counsel. I don't think it would be onerous or burdensome on his time necessarily just to give us a clarification on the matters that are appropriate to executive session. I mean, those are the three overall categories, legal, contractual, and employee. But if that's something that you think would be helpful, I'm happy to make that request that we get a little additional clarification as to the parameters of that. Would that be helpful? Marty?
Yeah, I would like that. I don't know if anybody else wants it, but I would
So the one I have, I understood you to say that you're asking that our committee provide documentation that can be shared with all LSB members to explain exactly what matters are appropriate for discussion in executive session and which should be held in open session.
Right, exactly.
Is there a second to that?
This is Jane. I would like to second that.
Jane will be the second. Okay, is there any objection? Okay, so moved, right?
Who is our new, who is our executive, who's our,
His name is Andy Gold. He's an attorney that practices in the Bay Area, not too far from the national office. So I think this does not strike me as a legal research question that would take a tremendous amount of an attorney's time. You know, it's probably fairly, and you know, that way we'd have something that could be distributed probably, you know. So,
is that Gold with an E on the end or not? No.
Oh, no E on the end, just G-O-L-D, Andy Gold.
So you will pose this question to our new counsel, Andy Gold, and get back with the committee.
Yeah, I'll ask for an opinion in writing and imagine it won't be that lengthy. It's cover, you know, what's covered. And then I can distribute it back to the audit committee, and from there we can distribute it to our local commission.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else before we move on to other discussions, even though we've kind of ranged about it? Okay. Would we like to discuss? I believe we could discuss some of the moving to deficiencies that would be public audit. Would anyone like to, we can discuss some of that right now?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand what you just said.
Do we wish to discuss other documents that were distributed previously, including deficiencies?
You know, this is Margie again. I do have something to report on that, if I might. I forwarded the deficiencies document to our business manager. I know she had already seen it because I had had a conversation with her about it when we were preparing the budget, the last budget. Anyway, so she wrote back to me and gave me an update on each one of these things. And so I think I thought that was sort of a good way to handle it. And she just wrote it. She noted each, I don't know, maybe there are more, but she did 8 deficiencies. Were there more than 8? I don't remember.
I'm looking.
And commented on each one of them, so.
Oh, good. Could you forward that to the group?
Sure. I'd be glad to. Let me check with her first to make sure it's okay with her, and then I'll do it. Okay?
Great. Yeah, because that's helpful, because a lot of at least, you know, my interaction has been getting feedback from, you know, the two national management personnel, and it's helpful to get feedback from the individual business managers at stations as well, I think. So that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very informative. You know, obviously, she indicated that a number of changes have been made, and so I thought that was very positive. Okay, yeah, I'll check with her and make sure it's okay that I forward it to the committee, and then I'll do it. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Great, yeah. I think that would be very helpful. And you know what? I don't know if anyone else wants to interface with business managers on deficiencies specifically, but it's not, you know, it's not a bad thing to see what the individual managers have to say about the deficiencies at their stations, since they are broken down that way, you know.
Right, and
okay.
Since there was no deficiencies noted for KPFT, there's not really a natural shoe-in for a conversation.
Yes, well, no, not every station has deficiencies. KPFT, I mean, to its credit, has fewer of these issues, it seems, you know, so that have been noted that anything was thought of. Is someone going to be recognized?
Nancy has a question.
Please.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'll
call
in. Wesley on the stack.
Thank you. Go ahead, Wesley, please.
You know, I had something really witty to say, but I think it might be an ad hominem attack, so I withdraw my...
Okay. Well, one must be careful of one's choice of witticisms, right? So,
correct.
Okay.
I'm Sandy Kaufman.
I have a question, Nancy from KPFT. Do we have a listserv?
Fred had created a group for us. Fred Blair, do you want to address that?
Well, the Yahoo group is sort of like a listserv. It doesn't actually... Well, it does. When I post a file, it does mail you an email notice with hot links to the Yahoo group, so you can pick up the file. But it's not strictly a listserv, but it's similar.
It's similar. So, and we have all our on that thing. It's all our telephone numbers that people who want to give their telephone numbers. Like, if I want to talk to somebody or.
Go ahead.
Yeah, like making a motion or some information.
Well, you can email other members that are part of that group.
Oh,
but
okay.
Unless you put that profiling information, like your home phone number or your mobile number, in your when you register with the group, you have to create a Yahoo email account. And that email account can be redirected to, you know, another email account that you have. You don't have to, but it basically provides you a password to log in to the group list. And you can, and the other group members are, you can view the other group members of the list and, you know, email them if you would like. But it's not like a, because it's web-based, it's not, you know, it's under the rules that Yahoo sets for it. So it's not infinitely adaptable and, configurable or, you know, in the way you may be thinking.
So I'm not thinking much because I just bought a computer a week ago, so I don't know. I had to because the library computer has not been working well since the Occupy Houston movement started. I mean, it's like connecting time is like 40, 50 minutes. Yeah, so
it's always an advantage to having your own personal machine. You're in complete control. I know
well,
how.
I like it.
But in any case, the advantage of the Yahoo group is it's a place to for a you know, a organized group to congregate and share files and, you know, share email messages and share information. And it doesn't go, you know, it has its limitations, but it's useful.
Okay, so I make a Yahoo account and then I send it to...
Well, send me an email message with your email address, and I will send you an invitation to the Yahoo group.
Okay, I think you already did that, but I mean, I guess I better make a Yahoo account. I don't have a Yahoo
right.
account.
Right. Yeah. There should
okay.
be a hot, in that invitation. There should be a hot link, and all you do is click on it in your web browser, or it will open up your web browser to Yahoo, and you will then create your email account and be be inducted into the group.
Okay. Okay.
And as a point of information, Nancy and everybody else, when I send out various documents, I don't blind copy everybody, so all of our email addresses are right there that I've stripped right off of the KPFTX website. So if you take one of my emails where I've sent a document to the whole group, it'll have everybody's email address right there. So
oh yes, I saw that.
I see all of them. I tried making a group list for myself, and I had some problems with that. But, regardless, you can copy all of those email addresses. That is the audit committee group. And not everybody logs into the KPFTX site to post stuff, so it's really not applicable to everyone. But if you're one of the people that does that, then the email addresses for the particular committee are also right there. But for purposes of this committee, you could just take one of my emails that has everybody's email address in it and copy those, and you would have the...
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay, thank you.
So now there's some of the notes on the deficiencies are actually in the management letter. I don't know if people want to talk about that. We should probably go off the stream if we want to have some discussion about that. That kind of goes back to Margie's question about what's confidential, what is it? Management letters are supposed to be confidential. So we probably shouldn't read all of the deficiencies on a live stream, and some of them have been dealt with. And some of them are recurring notes, and there aren't any notes for KPFT, as was mentioned, and I don't think there are any for the KPFK. And some of that may be, the fact that the auditor visits at every station in each audit year. When they visit another station, they may discover some deficiencies that were previously not noted. That's always possible as well. Is there a desire to go offline for a few minutes and go over those deficiencies that are in the audit management letter? Because that is part of what the audit committee legitimately can follow up on, just, with their own management to say, have we corrected this? Have we corrected that? Is this? And some of them are noted where it says, corrective action recently taken, and other things where it says repeat comment or, is there any temperature to go do that?
This is Jane. I have a question for you. We have a spreadsheet that it looks like it was perhaps LaVarne's spreadsheet documenting what had been done to address deficiencies, maybe? I'm not exactly sure. Do you know how recent that is? That up to date, or was that an earlier thing?
Does it have a date on it? I'm looking right now at the actual deficiencies. Do you see a date on the spreadsheet? Because my recollection, that came out maybe 2-3 months ago.
I see some items listed 12/31, but I don't really know. I mean, that hasn't even arrived, so I'm thinking that there's must mean that there's a target date or something.
Jane, do you want to post that to me right now? I know I'm probably the one that sent it out a while ago.
It's on the group. No, it's on the group.
Oh, you're on the group. Okay.
No, it's one of the files on the group. I was just looking at it. It's Fred posted it to the group on November 17th. It's titled Audit Deficiencies 2010. So I guess this is probably something that LaVarne may have prepared.
I believe it, yeah. That's correct.
Okay. So
it should list some of these things have been corrected over the course of the year from the time that the deficiencies were noted by the audit.
KPFT, there's nothing. There's no deficiencies listed in the 2010 management letter, so there's nothing on that page.
Right, and there's nothing listed for KPFK, and I'm of the personal opinion that that's not because we don't have any deficiencies. I'm of the opinion that it's slaughtered and come first to our station, you know what I mean? So, not to be cold blooded or anything, but some of the deficiencies that I note at other stations, I'm like, I think we do that too, you know? So you know, it is helpful when they go to the individual stations, especially the big stations, and finding. So, I know from past experience, it does not seem to be too much trouble in terms of KPFT seems to, those aspects of things do seem to run fairly smoothly, let's put it that way, in terms of production of documents and things like that. Whether or not there are any undetected deficiencies, I can't tell since they're not listed on here, you know, but neither is our station. So, you know, you've got the three stations and the national office that are listed, and several of those are repeat comments as well. So, do we want to go offline and talk about these things for a few minutes, or do we not? Is there anybody have an opinion on that?
This is Jane. I'd just assume make it a short meeting.
Okay. Do we want to have some dialogue between now and next meeting as to, you know, it would be nice to have maybe a further update from LaVarne as a CFO as to what other corrective action has been taken on addressing deficiencies? And it would be nice maybe to have some follow-up, at least via email, shortly as to whether, you know, whether there's any glitches in terms of production of documents for the auditor. Do we want to schedule, you know what I mean? Like, we're sending people off to say, hey, go interface with your management. But if our next meeting is next month, we won't know if that's been done successfully or not, or if there's any additional follow-up needed from us as a committee. So,
when is the next meeting?
We haven't scheduled it. That's sort of where I'm groping towards that. We've got, you know, holidays confronting us and an audit. Would we like to meet sooner rather than later, like in a couple of weeks, so we get a meeting under our belt before Christmas to see if we've gotten everything together that the auditors need, and he may have given us another list of stuff he needs by then, or said, gee, I'm encountering a problem here, or whatever, and then schedule our next meeting for, you know, after the holidays. Is there an inclination to do that?
This is Jane. I would prefer that we not get that in depth with it. I mean, my own feeling is that at some point we're going to be asked to actually look at the preliminary audit, right? So that's going to come in January. Are we going to have quite a bit of work to do in January in terms of reviewing what he's? I feel like we have enough to know what we can do to help at this point make the audit go smoothly. And I think at this point, like, if any one of us has questions about what we can do, we could maybe get in touch with you directly for personal instruction. But I'd like to see us just kind of step back, try to do what we can, interface if possible with our business managers to assist. But I think that our real work is going to kick in January or whenever. Don't we have to actually review the preliminary work before it goes to the PMB?
Well, I think it would be helpful, and I think it would probably be helpful to have Ross, you know, interface with us at that meeting. Why don't we maybe have, like, two action items, if that would be okay, which might be the people that said they would interface with their managers, maybe just, like, communicate with me via email. Let me know, you know, just to follow up, you know, are there any glitches? Is any additional help needed? Are things running smoothly? Would that be acceptable to the people that said they would talk to their managers to just follow up with me next week? And because I'm going to be, you know, interfacing with Ross again probably on Monday to make sure that he's getting what he needs from everybody. I'm supposed to be interfacing with Lynn Magno because she produces a lot of the documents at the national office. Would there be any objection to that as an action item, which is a follow-up email with me next week as progress? And then we schedule a meeting right now for January, and maybe schedule two things for then, which is both the, you know, interfacing with Ross Wisdom as to where he's at in terms of the preliminaries on getting the audit done, any additional follow-up. And maybe also from the CFO, ask her to actually come on the call and give us a report on what deficiencies have been corrected and what the update is. Since we're now at the end of, you know, 12/31 will have come and gone. Have we corrected all the deficiencies? Or is there anything still left to correct? Would that
Make sense?
This is Jane. I heard at least two separate things. The first one made complete sense to me personally, where you suggested that the people who volunteered to serve as a point person to interface with station management to make sure that these items were being provided to the auditor, that that those people should provide a follow-up email to you in about a week to let, you know, just to kind of keep track of making sure that everything is being delivered to the auditor that's needed.
Yeah.
So that's item number one, which to me, that's a really good thing, except for that we don't have anybody from the WBAI yet, so we need
to
figure out.
Because I spent a couple of weeks at WBAI last month, I will go ahead and contact Fairchild myself, the manager, and maybe the PNB directors from New York, and, see if we can get someone from New York to be the point person. I'll take that on to interface with New York to get someone to be the point person going with management, but I can also call the manager directly and, make sure that he's,
But the second thing that you were mentioning, I heard you mentioning, to me it doesn't make sense at this moment. I heard you suggesting that we might want to get LaVarne to provide an update on how progress is being made. And I sort of think that that's not very timely right now, because I think, in a sense, that would be adding extra work, and it's exactly what Ross said we shouldn't do. We shouldn't be adding more. In other words, they should be focused.
That's a good point.
I think it would be better to just wait till we get preliminary report from Ross and then just go from there.
That's true, and he'll certainly highlight any deficiencies that remain. That's what he does.
Right.
He'll say, gee, you're so deficient right here. Okay. So do we want to schedule a meeting for January? I'll go ahead and pull up the calendar and see. Does that seem reasonable? Is there any objection to that? We'll schedule a January meeting right now.
First Monday of January?
What is the first Monday? Friday is the 6th.
That would be
the first Monday is the 2nd of January.
Why don't we make it the 2nd Monday, if that's okay? Does that seem okay to everyone, which would be the 9th?
Good for me.
Okay.
That's okay? All right, I'm going to do this while we're talking so I don't screw it up and forget to do it. Okay, so Monday the 9th, there's no objection to that?
I have an ARDC meeting Monday the 9th.
It's been our policy to have the audit committee be the third Monday of the month. Do we want to continue that, or do we?
That's fine, Fred. That's legitimate. Thank you. I've lost track of my rotation at this point on all these committees. If we've been on the third Monday, you're right. It is better policy to try and keep the same day in rotation, as it were.
I think that's probably a good time for. We'll probably actually have something from Ross by that time.
That's a lot of sense. Sure. So that's what, the 16th? Is that right?
Yeah, it's fine with me, but I just want to point out that it's the Monday of the Martin Luther King 3-day weekend.
Oh. Boy, we're up against all these holidays all the time, aren't we?
But if we can all meet then I think it's fine. We should go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I think most of the Martin Luther King stuff goes on at daytime, so we'd probably be done with that by the time. If there's no objection, then I'd say let's grab that day. And that's also, like Jane was saying, sufficient time that we should have something back from Ross that's usable to look at, So if there's no objection, I am logging into the calendar and nailing down the dates for us.
Next meeting is January 23rd?
16th. So it's only if you think you're going to have an issue with, Martin Luther King celebrations or political activities. And if anyone thinks you do, say so and make it look. If not, at least here everything goes on earlier in the day, usually.
Same here.
Yeah. Okay. So then let's go with that. If we've been, because the third Monday business, it is good to stick to that and create new events. And I'm creating our event right now. So we'll be on Monday the 16th. People will follow up with me next week. I will follow up with New York this week on the list that the auditor needs. If the auditor supplies me with another list of required documents, which I anticipate he may do in the next couple of weeks,
I will go ahead and just disseminate them to the list, okay, and perhaps the same individuals would be willing to, you know, interface again between now and then with management. That might be helpful. He hasn't told me exactly. He just said there will be another list of required documents or set that he needs, okay? And obviously all of this is going to management anyway. We're just giving a little extra push to see if we can be helpful to get, you know, things to do. And we'll meet the 16th to review where the audit's at and get feedback from the auditor and see if there's other things that we need to do in order to finish the production, okay? He did, you know, there's one other thing. Let me just go over this because when I spoke earlier, I made a bunch of notes just before we break. Yeah, it's basically, you know, preliminary work. Station business managers prepare September bank reconciliations, inventory, et cetera, and they begin testing the transactions. Field audit work, they interview personnel and they adjust entries as appropriate. And then post audit work is subsequent events, trial balances that may have changed, and any equipment purchases that have happened. So I think there may be two or three interface points between now and the time that the audit is completed, but by doing this in mid-January, certainly the auditor will have completed a good amount of the work and know what else needs to be done that we may need to help with, okay? So I have just put us down for Monday the 16th, okay? All right, is there anyone else? Anything else? Motion to adjourn?
Right, just a reminder, the only two action items then were follow up with you in a week. You're going to touch base with WBAI people, and then the contact you're going to make with Andy Gold about our motion.
Thank you. Yeah, so, thanks for finding me on that one. If you can include that in the minutes, then I'll make sure that I get, I will go ahead and request that this week from him so that we have some clarity on that.
Move to adjourn.
Any objections? Okay. And we're already posted for the 16th, okay? All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.